my goodness, it's all too much. Whatever next? No way. Welcome along to Chinwag with that painted whore, Sister Bang Bang.
Stand by for lots of malicious gossip and wicked chit chat.
What's more?
Malicious gossip and wicked chit chat. Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Hello and welcome to Chinwag. Today's episode sees the return of the majestic and incomparable Sister Indica. And that's not easy to say. Sister Indica and myself have a fabulous relationship, one that started through the digital world. I listened to her podcast, Joy Bomb, and soon learned that Sister Indica is not afraid of her own voice. So it wasn't long before I started Chinwag and wasn't afraid of mine either. And every so often, we plug in our headphones and mics and chat together, just like today. Now, I was going to say that in today's show, the gloves are off and we're going to ask each other absolutely any question whatsoever. But we do that anyway. It does make you wonder what questions we have got for each other, though. So put your hands together and welcome back, Sister Indica!
Thank you for having me, Bang Bang. I just love your voice.
I have to listen to the Queen on a weekly basis to make sure I have received pronunciation, you know.
It's such a delight, and I'm so excited to be here with you and to learn so much more about you, because it seems that every time I talk to you, the layers just keep getting pulled farther and farther back. So I'm excited to get to know you even more today.
Oh, good. And ditto. We're like a couple of onions, aren't we? We just keep peeling.
Yes.
Layer after layer after layer. Yeah,
and causing so many tears in the as a result.
Tears of laughter, I hope.
Well, you know.
Yes, but so yeah, we're going to be kind of, I don't know. Some people might say mean. They might say we're being mean today, but we're not, because we've got to that level of our friendship now where we can ask each other kind of anything, can't we?
You're going to be mean to me? I've never had any intention of being mean to you. I couldn't be mean to Bang Bang.
You could. I'm going to say you could if you pushed. You could if you had a sherry or two, a bit like you did last night, apparently, when you went out with the sisters.
Yeah. This is very much like I used to have a show long before Joy Bomb with my best friend, Big Mel. We had our own little radio show and we did it on Saturday mornings. And every single time we did the show, we were both super hungover. We were much younger, of course, and, you know, always going out every week. So this is very much kind of in the vein of my old school days with Big Mel, where I would get on, you know, do a show with her and just be so hungover. So yeah, I'm good. I'm here. Like, I'm not that bad. But yeah, I definitely had some fun last night with the sisters.
This might be my favorite, you see, really, because if you're hungover, you could be that little bit more vulnerable. And
oh, right. You know. Yeah, you could totally just go for the jugular today.
Just
Bang,
go for
bang.
The jugular, yeah. So, so shall I start off, though? You've got questions for me and I've got questions for you. And, yes, like you said just a little bit earlier, it'd be nice to find out more about each other. Though, you've no idea what the questions I've got this time.
And you're really gloves off. You just really want to go for it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose in our world, it's more kind of fun gloves off. It's just sort of naughty questions and near the knuckle questions. But who knows?
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. So I'm going to start off sort of kind of mild with my first one. It's not too much for the jugular. It's more like the wrist. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh.
Now, don't forget, well, we've only got an hour for this show.
I know. I'm a walking ball of shenanigans and tomfoolery. Like, I'm just, that's so part of my personality that trying to narrow it down to one is very hard because I am very good at continually embarrassing myself. But I would say definitely one of the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me, especially as a sister, if we're going to frame it there, was when we went to this Halloween party on the set of a TV show called True Blood. So it was on a film, a soundstage, and all celebrity attended. It was a, it's a very posh, huge event that happens every year. And I went there with some of my sisters from LA, and it was sponsored by a tequila company. So they were passing around like free shots of tequila. They had an open bar with tequila drinks. Just, it was just, it was so exciting. And I was so nervous about being in the company of all these famous people that I was just like, I did like three shots of this tequila. I had a couple drinks. I had not eaten anything at all. So at one point I ended up passing out in the corner of the VIP booth. No. In this VIP room, I pass out in face in the corner, and one of my sisters took a picture of it, of me with my head resting on my arms, just all passed out. And I had this bowl next to me because I felt that if I were to throw up, which it was possible because I have a very weak stomach, I'm very prone to throwing up drunk. I had this bowl next to me. I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna put it next to me, and then if I throw up, I can be very nonchalant about it. Well, it was not coming up. So one of my sisters was like, we need to get you out of here. So she picks me up, and two sisters are basically carrying me across the room. Like my feet are barely grazing the ground. Get me outside. And there's basically all the event organizers and everyone outside, you know, because the event is winding down, and I just throw up everywhere. Just projectile vomit everywhere. And it was so embarrassing. And then I had to be carried up, like, you know, put into an elevator into this parking garage. And I was left on the stairs while they tried to get the car ready. And I just kept puking and puking. It was such a disaster. So they've never let me live it down.
I bet. I wouldn't let you live it down either if I was there. I'd definitely take pictures, and I want to see that picture, by the way.
It exists. I'll show it to you.
You will.
On Facebook.
I need to see that. Yes. That was good. That was a very good answer, I have to say. I forgot to say, remind everybody that these questions, neither of us know about each other's questions at all here. So we can't prep for the answers in any way whatsoever. So, you got to throw one back at me now. We can use each other's questions as well. So we can say, and now, you know, you as well, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, a question should be answered by us both. So okay. Bang, bang. Tell me, what is your most embarrassing moment?
Well, it's funny when you were talking about that, what one did come to mind, and it's going back a few years now. Let's just say I had a gentleman caller for the evening, shall we? And I think it probably was somebody I picked up that night. And I wasn't very well prepared in terms of, shall we say, lubrication. So there was not around at the time, and one needed one, didn't one. I don't know why I'm talking like the bloody queen here, putting all the ones in. So
it's because I'm an American, so you're trying to, like, you know, be extra fancy.
Exactly, and be ultra polite as well, and be very English and British. So anyway, went on the hunt around the flat to try and find something. Now, I know the first thing that we found was a mousse shaving foam flavoured in lemon and lime. Not that the flavour's got anything to do with it, because you're not really going to know, are you? But that kind of, it didn't work. I remember it not working because I would presume it sort of loses its lubrication capabilities pretty quick. So I had to go in search of something else, of which I had to use two or three fingers to sort of use it to get an ample quantity of it. Fast forward to the following morning, and the gentleman caller had left by this point, and my flatmate came into the front room and said, is there any reason why there's three gouge marks in the tub of butter in the fridge?
Oh my God.
Because I'd totally forgotten. Because you use it and put it back, don't you? And I was just like, oh, I'm mortified. I didn't say anything. I said, no, I have no idea. Maybe I couldn't find a knife to put it on the toast or something. I just remember three finger gouge marks in the tub of butter from the fridge. So, yes, that was incredibly embarrassing. But I think as you get older, isn't it? Embarrassment is a state of mind. It's something that you kind of, if that happened nowadays, I'd just laugh it off. It wouldn't be embarrassing. But when you're young and in your 20s, yeah, you're mortified for that. So,
oh, it's the worst. Yeah. It's the worst. But yeah, I think as you get older, especially for me, if you just change your attitude about basically, I think it boils down to not taking yourself seriously. The more seriously you take yourself, the more embarrassment bothers you.
And other people latch onto that, don't they? You know, if you're embarrassed, they'll shine a spotlight on it. Whereas, yeah, as you say, if you just go, yeah, whatever, and it's only three finger in gouges in the butter, usually it's four or five, but, you know, must have been an off night. You could have worded it, couldn't you?
So, oh, bang, bang.
You see, I'm not as goody-goody as people make out me to be. I'm glad.
Well, this leads me to my question. Well, my question to you is, mm-hmm. is bang bang a top or a bottom?
A bottom. A bottom. This boy is a bottom.
Are you like a complete, devout, total bottom, or are you versatile at all?
I love the way you say versatile. We say versatile and you say versatile. You say it again. I can't do it now.
Versatile.
I am versatile. Yes, I'll flip and flop all over the place, but ultimately I know from a couple of relationships I've had, long-term relationships, that I really have enjoyed bottoming. And it's not because I'm lazy. I'm not, I suppose, dare I say, I'm a power bottom. I'll be getting all sorts
of I think being a bottom is the most, it requires the most preparation. It requires the most everything. It's like, it's very difficult. So I don't think that even a bottom that would just lay there, I can't think that's even lazy, because just to do though, it's just such a, it's so involved. If you're a top, it's easy. You just stick it in. But if you're a bottom,
yes,
you have to like be relaxed, and you have to, you know, be in a mindset, and you have to be prepared. You have to not eat or clean yourself. It's just which is why I'm a top, because I'm so fucking lazy. I'm not doing all that.
I'm not getting prepared for 2 hours before. Actually, the funny thing is, one of my dear friends, Peter, who I've known for probably about 25 years or so, when we met, we're similar height, we're 6'2", back then we were quite slim, and we used to go out together and everything, and we used to go our own ways. We never played with each other or anything like that. And only recently, probably about a month ago, he said, "Bang bang, you remember those days back when we were, you know, younger, frivolous, and we used to go out? Do you ever actually remember douching?" And I went, no, I didn't. I can't remember actually doing the clean back then. But now you're paranoid. Well, as a bottom, you get paranoid about it. It's like, no, if I'm going out tonight, I've got to allow this time for, sorry if ever this is grossing people out, but it's only natural, you know, it's only respectful for the top as well. But you're going to spend lots of time making sure you're prepared and you've got a body worth going on show, both outside and inside. But yeah, back then, I can't remember ever doing that sort of thing. Maybe when you're younger, I don't know, dare I say you don't need to, really? I don't know. Write and tell us.
Hi friends, it's Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb. I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes. Joy Bomb. If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Are you receiving us, Earth? Are you receiving us, Earth? malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
The next question that we have to both of us to answer is kind of along the same lines, but tell me about your first sexual experience. True sexual experience, not just messing around, but actual like sex. The first time you had sex.
I do remember this. And there is a bit of a funny bit in it as well. There was a gay nightclub in Manchester called The Exit. It's going back a few years. And I'd had a few, you know, but like we all do, we have a little messes around when we're young, when I was at college and university. But it was never like full on or anything like that. It was mouths and hands. Leave it at that.
And playful.
Playful. So I met this guy and we went back. He was the sound engineer for this nightclub. That is the sound engineer as in getting it ready to eventually be open in about a month's time. And he used to, in the daytime, used to do it. And I used to go down and course, because I thought he was going to be my first ever boyfriend. I was besotted with him. And I used to go, I used to get sandwiches and things like that, and make cups of tea and you know, anything like that. And then we started sort of in the evenings, I'd go back to his place. I was living at home at the time with my mum and dad, but that was never a problem. And this went on for like 2 or 3 weeks. I started to get a little bit of a name. It was like you were saying, you could be called names when you're younger and you can be really embarrassed. When you get older, it doesn't bother you. And because I made lots of tea and because I was having sort of shags with him, I was known as the Goblin Tea's Maid. I might have to explain this more. Certainly in Britain, a tea's maid, an automatic tea maker, which is wired to an alarm clock, is made by a company called Goblin. So me being called a Goblin Tea's Maid was obviously a pun on the words at the same time. I don't know if you have that in America. Don't you have the Goblin brand over there?
We don't, but it sounded funny.
But it's even more funny, you know, it's an actual product called the Goblin Tea's Maid, and I was called the Goblin Tea's Maid. That wasn't necessarily as funny as I remember one night I'm having to really tax my brain cells here. He had a flatmate of his who came from, I think it was Australia or New Zealand. And his initials were the letter L and the letter C. So he was called LC. But also because he came from down in the southern area. Do you ever remember a knitted lamb puppet called Lamb Chop? Used to be on television.
Oh, yes. Lamb Chop with Sherry Lewis.
Yes, that was it. So we used to call him Lamb Chop. And when we got bored with calling him Elsie. And I remember we were in, me and my supposed boyfriend at the time were going at it like a couple of trains. And he suddenly staggered into our bedroom, absolutely pissed as a fart, one step away from doing what you did and landing up in the corner of a room with your head in a bowl, and just stared at the pair of us in deflagrato. And I was absolutely, that was kind of around the time, you know, that was my first experience of having full-on sex, and this person stumbled into the room. And for a long time after that, I thought that's what you had to do. You had to get somebody to stumble into the room when you were having sex, which is so ludicrous, but when you're young, you do things like that. So yeah, that's what I remember. Man. What about your first time? Can you think that far,
well,
darling?
You bitch. You know what? I have a question to ask. What is it with old people harassing younger people about being old?
Oh, shade throwback there. Love it. Game of tennis.
It's like, excuse me, how can you use age as an insult?
40.
No, I get it all. I get it all the time. I have one sister in South Florida who I adore. Her name is Normally Intoxicated, who is much older than me. And she always makes jokes about my age. And I'm just like, but you're older than me. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You have so much material to work with. You have to go for age.
Maybe it's
I have nothing to do with age.
Attitude, yes, but never age. Yeah,
right. I give you so much more to talk about. But yeah, my first sexual experience, I will say that I came out of the closet when I was fairly young. Probably, and I mean openly in school and everything, probably like freshman year of high school. So 14, 15-ish. But I could not get laid to save my life. I was the only gay in the village. And after a couple years, I would meet people through friends, because that's how you met people, was a friend of a friend. I know a gay guy. You guys will hit it off. Mm-hmm. And it's always just like someone you have no chemistry with, because the only thing you have in common is that you're gay. But in that area and in that time, it was always word of mouth. So I had a lot of trouble meeting guys. But one night I was over one of my friend's house, a girl, and she had her friend and her boyfriend. So four of us were all like having a sleepover, spending the night, you know, drinking, watching movies. And we were watching this movie called Kids, which is it takes place in the clubs of New York City, especially one club called The Tunnel, and which is no longer there. So we're watching this movie. I'm mixing us drinks. I'm making like super strong drinks, and we're teenagers, so we're extra stupid because we have no idea even how to properly make a drink. So you're just basically drinking 90% booze in a big, huge glass. You're just getting hammered. Mm. So we got hammered, and one thing led to another, and I ended up having sex with my friend who was a girl. After being totally openly gay and completely comfortable being gay for, at this point, I was like 18, I think, 17 or, you know, 17. No, I was 18. I was 18 years old. So I had not actually had sex until I was 18, and it was with a girl. And so I remember after I was done, I was just like stunned and just just stunned. And I turned to her and I'm like, was that sex? Is that what sex is? And she's like, yep, that was it. And I was just like, as the kids these days would say, I was shook. I was just shook. So I get in my car and I drive home in a panic. And I was just a complete mess from that point on, because you know, I'm like, but wait, I'm gay. How could I have sex with a girl? How could I want to do it? How could I be into it? How could I initiate it? It was my idea. it definitely impacted our friendship.
Right. Yeah.
But we were still friends. We still stayed friends, but of course the relationship was different, and that started me on a bad path of ruining friendships with sex. Not the first or last time I've done it. But yeah, it was actually very traumatizing after the fact, because it totally was a mind fuck. Like, wait a minute, I'm gay. I can't be attracted to women. I can't be able to have sex with a woman. That doesn't make any sense. I don't consider myself bisexual, but you know, I obviously am not completely 100% gay.
And what makes you wonder who is? There's always a debate about that, isn't there? About fluidity and sexuality.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely a more fluid person, because there are women even to this day that I'm like, I'd fuck her. All right. I'd do her. She's hot. I would totally fucking do her. Albeit the list is incredibly short. But there's still a list. So yeah, definitely that's when I became very, very aware that I am not a full 10 on the scale.
Of being gay. Yeah. I remember when I was 11 years of age outside school waiting for the coach to come home, and somebody said, are you homosexual? And I said, I don't know, only because I had no idea what the word meant. Because you don't know everything at age 11. But Yeah, it's funny. But a few people have said over time, he says, are you, have you ever slept with a woman? Are you bisexual? Are you 100% gay? And I went, well, I consider myself, it's weird in a way. It's almost like you can't answer this, because I'd say I'm 100% gay. But there again, even though I'm not sexually attracted to women and women aren't sexually, well, I don't know. Women don't sexually attract me. But that's just at this moment in time. Who's to say that when I go out tonight, I won't get a stirring? And I'm not afraid of that. But I don't know whether that, you know, it's just leave it in the air. Who knows? I might die 100% gay. I've never had sex with a woman. But who's to say what history will bring?
Well, people who are very adamant, like gay people, gay men who are very adamantly like, ew, vaginas are so gross. They annoy me as much as straight men who are like, ew, I would never suck someone's dick. I would never let a guy suck my dick. No, that's fucking disgusting. It sounds the same to me, that utter repulsion. And, you know, it's just like, well, I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm not saying you have to go eat someone's pussy, but yeah. I'm just saying that maybe, you know, just because you prefer something, you know, your preference is this, doesn't mean that you have to completely close your mind off to everything else. Because if you do and something happens, it will fucking psychologically scar you. So you learn from my mistake. Like, I was fucking traumatized from it because I had gotten in my head that this is what it is and you're not, you know, you can't do it any other way.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's just spot on there. I think, you know, when you say just relax, a lot of there's more guys that I know who are maybe married or consider themselves straight, but have no hang-ups whatsoever. You know, they won't go, ew, no, don't, that sort of thing. They might just laugh at it sort of thing. Or if a guy fancies them, they'll usually say, oh, thank you. That's a real nice compliment. You know, they have a complete sense of a much bigger sense of who they are, and can relax into it. And that's so healthy. You know, it's just like, I'm not asking you to go back with me and have sex with me, but for God's sake, just accept a compliment, for God's sake.
And maybe if they're so, you know, just not tethered to society's ideas of heterosexuality, as a gay person is not so tethered to society's ideas of even art, what we create as our own culture, what is gay, then maybe they might fool around one time a little something, something, you know, because they're completely not closed off to it and they don't see anything wrong with it. And I think that's why women, you know, people are like, oh, women are more bisexual than men. No, it's not. That's not the case. It's just that it's more socially acceptable for women to, you know, if a straight girl makes out with another woman, it's applauded. It's like, ooh, that's hot. That's sexy. Yeah. Because they men in America, at least here, I mean, at least in our society, men allow women to have that more fluidity that they don't allow themselves to have, but that still exists in equal portions. You know, men are not allowed their fluidity. And if they allowed it, then I think I actually completely, to be completely honest with you, Bang Bang, I think if more straight men suck dick, there would be no more wars.
Well, but yeah, including the religion.
We'd have world peace
as well. We have world peace. Yeah, just on sucking dick. Yeah. It's funny that I was reading quite a lot more articles over this last year about bromances, about, you know, two guys who may be married, and a lot of them are, but they'll spend time together. They don't go into like football matches and stuff like that, but and then maybe in the evening over a pizza, they just get down to more than eating the cheese off the top of the pizza. Oh, that's gross, that, isn't it?
Ew.
I didn't mean it like that, to be honest. And they don't consider themselves gay, but they're not afraid of getting together and being naked with their best friend and having sex and then moving on and coming back to us in a couple more months. You think, but that's what the world used to be more like. you know, back in ancient Rome and ancient Egypt and in ancient Greece, there was rarely a word for homosexuality or lesbian. They just, if they fancied somebody, they just got on with it and moved on afterwards. It wasn't a big problem. And yet what we're doing now is actually we're going backwards, aren't we? We're not actually going forwards in acceptance and stuff like that. We get more hung up about it.
And maybe we just need to, instead, if we're so hell-bent on going backwards, then we just need to go way backwards, back to the ancient times when it was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right, you want to go back? Let's go back. We're going to go back. I'm going to choose the time frame now. I'm choosing the time. I don't want the 50s anymore. We're going back to ancient Greece, bitch.
Imagine that's like an R-rated, an 18-rated version of Doctor Who. And it's like, right, let's go. We're going for an orgy in ancient Rome. And, you know, like, the gloves are off. Everybody can do anything they want. It'll just be a free-for-all. And just enjoy yourself. You know, including you, the people from the church, and those people who've got hang-ups about sex. All that's going to be put on hold for an hour. That'd be fun. The thing is, though, you know, Sister Indica, that when it comes to, we hinted about orgies here, I am probably better as the madam rather than as one of the working girls or boys. I'd love to be a madam of a brothel.
Oh, that would be awesome. Love that, too.
It's like, you've seen Dolly Parton in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, the music.
Can you believe it? I have never seen that movie.
I have a feeling I've asked you this question before, haven't I?
No, you haven't. I have never seen this movie, and it's not because I've purposely avoided it. It's just that I always forget about it. But then I'll see like a screenshot, or someone will share a clip of it, and I'm just like, I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan. It doesn't make any sense that I haven't seen one of her most most iconic films. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense, Bang Bang.
You get it sorted, Sister Indica.
I will. Right. I have to. This will be my reminder so that when I listen back, go, oh, yes, make sure you download that movie. Remember? I always forget to remember.
Yeah, I might just watch that tonight now I've mentioned it. I've not seen it for a while. But yeah, I love it. I love the fact that they make a whole musical about a whorehouse. So yeah, I'd definitely be the Dolly Parton figure in that. And also she gets better dresses, which suits me down to the ground. so that's that. So whose question was that? Was that yours or mine?
Yeah, it was mine.
It was yours. Okay.
See, two questions and we're already halfway through.
Halfway through. Oh, and well, you know, halfway through I need to do this. You're listening to an amazing episode with Sister Indica and myself of Chinwag. I nearly forgot the name of my program there.
I was going to say, what the hell's happening, Bang Bang? Are you having a stroke over there?
That's it. Unless I'm staring at a big image of you here with your chin up, with Joy Bomb with Sister Indica, available on iTunes and Podomatic. So stand by for yet more fun with myself, Sister Bang Bang, and Sister Indica.
Hey kids, you know that every episode of Chinwag is done completely free, doesn't cost a penny or a dime, and it's just one of the many ways that we sisters try and entice you to donate money to good causes. So, if you have a few pennies to spare, please go now to our website at www.themanchestersisters.org
and just click on one of the donate buttons.
Every tiny bit helps, and we rely on your generosity. So donate now at www.themanchestersisters.org. Thank you from the bottom of our goodly hearts.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
It is Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang, and she's back again. Sister Indica, who's Skyping in from, I don't, where are you? Ohio somewhere. Somewhere in the
States. No. Oh my God. Don't ever
Alaska
ever say that, Big Bang. I'm from Michigan originally, so we always thought of Ohio as like trash. Like worse than Michigan, which I don't know. It's kind of like my friend posted a picture the other day of a bunch of bags of garbage, and one of the bags was gold. And it's like when you know you're trash, but you think you're better than everyone else, you're still trash though. The Ohio kind of cuts me because of that. But that's fine. You have every reason to ask me, where the hell am I? Because I move so goddamn much. But currently I'm in Arizona. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and I love it here. So I think I may finally settle down for a bit.
You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2017 and we'll come back to you. It's in March and we shall chase you back up with that particular one. See if you
can. Yeah, one more year. One full year from now, let's see what's going on.
Let's have another no holds barred. Anyway, yeah, good. So we're asking each other questions. It's a no holds barred edition. And we just, it's not turning out as gruesome or as cutthroat. As you might have thought, but certainly Sister Indica and I know each other well enough to ask whatever we want. So, Sister Indica, when was the last time you had an orgasm?
Oh, bang, bang. I'm a lady. I don't talk about that kind of stuff. I'm very polite and I'm very reserved. And in that sense, I'm actually very British. No,
you will answer the question.
Well, I mean, I think everyone masturbates, don't they? Like, yesterday, I probably was the last time I had an orgasm.
Well, you've got a boyfriend as well, though, haven't you?
Well, we've been together for 18 years, bang, bang. Do the math.
Do things move on?
So I will say, the last time I had an orgasm. Yeah. Was yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Are you having orgasms regularly?
Well, yes. I think it's very healthy for someone's sexual health to have frequent orgasms because I think it keeps your body working. It keeps everything running smoothly. And I think it also helps you not be such a bitch, which, I mean, can you imagine how much worse I would be if I did not have regular orgasms?
Well, they do say it does relax the muscles. But a lot of runners and what have you, sports people, they refrain from having orgasms, don't they, before something important like a run or a swim or something like that. Does it deflate your energy, I suppose, isn't it?
But I, you know what? That's funny that you bring that up because I had spent an entire year once. I did a whole year where I just said, you know what? I am not having sex.
Right.
I'm not having sex. And because I wanted to kind of, because I felt that when I was younger and I was my most creative and I was my most, making records and writing songs and just super creative, it was also around the same time I was never getting laid. So I'm like, you know, I think that me not having sex is allowing me to channel all my sexual energy and passion, like all that energy that's inside you. I was translating it into music. It was forcing me to create and I was creating really great stuff. So I figured no sex equals great art. So I took a whole year off of sex. I'm like, I'm not having sex at all. I just turn it off. Hmm. And I didn't record shit. Doesn't work.
Thank God for that.
not a good creative tool. So I understand the athletes do that, but it did not help me be any more creative. It just made me a bitch.
Even more of a bitch.
Even more of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm so glad you worked that one through there and it came out as that conclusion because I'm thinking, oh no, I want to have sex and I want to still be creative. I'm more of a writer. But there again, I suppose the imagery there is, it's quite funny to think I'm trying to write and then getting rammed up the rear at the same time just because it's good for the creative juices.
You know, because I had the realization after this year off of going, well, it didn't make me any more creative. What could it be? And I just think I realized, I'm like, oh, you know, I think when people are very young, you know, like teenage years, there's something about the teenage years, it's, you know, you're going through all these changes, you're about to become an adult, you're growing, you're finally experiencing things because you are on that verge of adulthood. That's just a certain time. It's like a vortex of energy in general. It's because you're growing, you're maturing. There's just all this energy that's swirling around, hormones, all that stuff that fuels great work. And if you look at anyone's albums, if you look at any musician, you'll see that their best work was typically in their, you know, late teens, early 20s. That's when their best work was being made because they were in that vortex. And the older people get, it doesn't necessarily mean that they become less creative. It just does not have that same energy. It's a different energy. It's a softer, calmer energy, but it's not that same energy that you have when you're in your late teens, early 20s. So that's what I think it boils down to. I don't think it has anything to do with sex.
It's funny. I went to a good friend's 40th birthday party last week, and he's the sort of guy that's, I always think he's got his head on his shoulders. He's well screwed together. And he was chatting to me, and he said, so tell me, he says, I've reached 40. What things start to change? What are the differences between your 30s and your 40s? And I felt like saying, well, what are you asking me for? I've yet to get there. But I knew that'd be a complete utter lie. And I said, well, it's weird. I suppose when you get to your 40s, you start realizing that you could actually make the same mistakes when you were as you did when you were in your 20s and 30s. And mistakes could be anything. You know, they could be how you talk to friends and what you deem as a joke or how you pick up guys or what a relationship and all this sort of thing. But it's kind of that you can see things clearly because you've already been there, including like the sex. So I suppose in a way, if you go out tonight and think, oh, you know, I want to trap off, you don't care when you're 20s and 30s. You don't analyze it. You don't think, okay, so that guy, he looks like that and he's talking to that friend and maybe I should find out more about him. But in your 20s and 30s, it's like, oh God, you're fit. You want to come back to my place? Isn't it? There's no filter mechanism. There's not many filter mechanisms when you're younger. When you're older, they all start to kick in. And I think that's when it starts to calm you down a little bit as well. Am I just saying that? I've not had a shag for ages, so.
Well, fear kicks in. Fear creeps in because of measured age. And you're like, well, just concern. Because when you're younger, there is like no fear. There's no fear. You feel you're invincible. You feel that, you know, like you'll never die. You'll never get sick. You're going to be young forever, that you're just going to stay. It's just everything. You're going to be 22 forever. It's just going to, time will stop. Mm. And you just live. So, you know, I mean, if I could go back and just undo so much of the shit I did, because I mean, I didn't know any better. I was an idiot. But it's just when you look back and as you age, it's just, yeah, I mean, there's so much more caution now because experience.
Exactly.
So I think it does. Yeah, it's, I'm actually perfectly fine getting older. Like, I don't have any hangups getting older. I cannot wait until I'm like dead, like old and dead. Like,
you won't know,
I can't wait. Yeah, I want the age. I want the wisdom. Like, I'm not trying to grasp on to youth and hang on. I want to earn my years. I want to earn my wisdom and my experience. Like, that's a badge of honor to me. It is not like something I fear. And, you know, and then inevitably we all die. I'm not afraid of that. Like, I can't wait for it. It's exciting to me. It's like, you know, it's, I mean, I'm just a very morbid person, but I'm not trying to kill myself. I'm not afraid of death, and I welcome it because I understand that it's a perfectly natural part of life. It's stupid to fear it. In my sense, in my opinion, it's very stupid to fear it because it's going to happen, bitch.
That's not morbid. No, I disagree with you on just on that point alone. I definitely don't think it's morbid. I think it's really healthy, what you just said. You've actually inspired me a little bit here because I do get down about my age and think, oh, you know, I'm not able to do things now and people won't fancy and all this sort of thing. And you're basically saying, hey, hang on to what you've learned and enjoy it and celebrate it and go out there and go, yeah, I am older than you and it's fun. You're making me think, darling. You're making me think.
Nice. You prepared to come onto this show today and rip me to shreds with some evil, catty questions. Mm. And I, in turn, have flipped your entire script and have given you poignant moments and things to think about. You're welcome, Bang Bang.
And that is a one good example of a really good radio show, and that is never overplan something, isn't it? It's just let it happen. Mind you, you know, we're two professionals, so we know what we're talking about, and we know how to talk, don't we?
We're one professional and one person who just can't shut her fucking mouth. And I'll let you guys figure out who is who.
No, don't bring yourself down. That's my job.
Okay.
Now, this has actually just reminded me, is a good friend of mine who lives in London, who is now 56 or 57. And last time I saw him, we got talking about sex. It seems to be prevalent in the conversations around at the moment. And he told me that he had paid for an escort for the night or for a couple of hours, which doesn't, that sort of thing doesn't, you know, it doesn't shock me, anybody doing that sort of thing. It just made me go, oh, really? Wow. Why did you think that? Why did you go for that? And he said, to be perfectly honest, I can't be asked going out clubbing into the pubs and getting changed. And, you know, you do, you know, get yourself ready for an escort coming around, but it's kind of different. You can stay in your own home. You can have your own comforts. He says, it is a sign of age, that, in many ways, but I'm enjoying it. He says, I'm at an age where I can afford luxuries like an escort. And I said, well, so how many times have you had an escort? He said, oh, the same one, and probably about 24 times. So, my God, it's like a relationship almost. Is he coming around for meals and cleaning the grill pan and that sort of thing yet?
I love that. I love that. And I exactly. It's a, you know, as you age, like, I think people are so grasping onto youth so much because they don't want to give up the spot in the sun.
Mm.
They want to hold on to that spot in the sun. They want to hold on to that, like, you know, as the light finds you and it, as you age, it just, like, you know, the next generation comes up and now it's their time to shine and their time to create and their time. It's, everyone has their time. And when people are so desperate to hang on to their youth, it's like, to me, it's like, it's selfishly not letting the next generation shine. And I don't think that means that people, when they age, need to go off into a field and never be seen again. I just think that they need to understand that their relationship to everything is now different because they're older. You know, now it's time for the kids to do their thing. Like, don't hog, like, let the kids come through, let the kids do their thing and have their moment, because you know what, then they're going to scoot on down the line, they're going to lose their time in the sun and someone else is going to come up. Mm. So to me, it's just like resisting the natural order of things.
It's, I like that analogy with not going out into a field. I think actually, as you get older, you should go out into a field, but invite people around and have a beautiful picnic set laid out on the field with fragrant candles and you know, just have a coach party arrive and really go for that being in a field moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you any fields out there?
I don't know. There's some fields I would like to be rolling around in right about now.
Yeah. And wow, it's morning as well. Oh, you're ever so slightly younger than me, aren't you?
Just slightly. I'm still having my time in the spotlight, Bang Bang. So it's, run along.
It's just a sepia tone spotlight nowadays, isn't it?
It truly is. And I love it.
Instagram. Yes, your sister is on Instagram, and it's the only way to see all my wonderful, gorgeous photos. And some of them are even suitable for your mother to see, but not many. So prod your finger over to Instagram and find me, Sister Bang Bang Ladesh. You know you want to.
It's all too much. Whatever next?
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Right, now, where are we with the questions? Oh, well,
it's my turn.
Is it? Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. No.
Do you want to do one?
No, you do one. Yeah, I've got one ready, but you first.
Okay. Because we're getting deep.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a deep place now.
Okay.
What is one of the most just devastating things to ever happen to you?
Just the one. There's been a few. I suppose the most recent was last year when my mum died. And I suppose from a devastation point of view, it wasn't the knowledge of her dying, because we knew that she was getting to that point in her life anyway. And it would be something which would just stop her suffering. Nobody wants anybody to suffer. But it was that particular weekend, the 3 days, where it went from... I'd gone to visit her. She'd actually gone into hospital to... She had diabetes and had an ulcer on her leg. So she was going in for some blood tests and she was having a few problems with her leg. And I went to see her on the Friday and she was fast asleep at the time when I went in, and it wasn't unusual. So I stayed like an hour and then made my way back home again. And when I got back home, my sister rang me and she was in floods of tears. And she said, the registrar from the hospital's just been on. Mum's got septicemia. We've been given an open visit, 24 hours a day, whenever we want to go in. And that, at that point, that was devastating. That was like, I went to pieces. I totally and utterly went to pieces. I tried to get hold of my best friend because I thought, I can't drive back to the hospital, which is about 10 miles away, on my own. And I need somebody to make sure that, it's a red light coming up, you must stop, sort of thing, whilst we're driving. And I couldn't get hold of him. He'd actually gone back to bed. He'd gone for an afternoon nap because he wasn't too well himself at that point. And I must have rung him about 30 times on my mobile phone, and I was screaming at the phone. It was just like, answer the phone, answer the phone. I'm falling to pieces here. I don't know what to do even. And I eventually rang his boyfriend, who then said, all right, okay, just let me ring you back. And he then went and rang their next door neighbor to go down the hallway and bang on the door to wake my best friend up. He came across, we got in the car, we went over there. I messaged some of my relatives who live about 200 miles away. And one of the most brilliant times of that weekend was within 20 minutes, they said, we're on the train up. We've gone straight to the station. We're on our way up, which was incredible. I didn't expect that. But all of that, from all that moment all the way through to the Sunday, where I was basically at home, sat by the phone, looking at it, knowing that the next call that was going to come up on that phone would be, I'm sorry to say, but your mum has died. And that those 3 days were devastating. Absolutely. That time just goes out the window. You have no real firm, you have to keep looking at your watch and it might say 11 o'clock, but you have no idea what 11 o'clock means. It's that sort of thing. It really fucks with your brain and everything. And then it was the week after that, then leading up to the funeral, which is a real bummer. It's you just need to get closure on it. And then once that the funeral had happened, all of that weight just drifted away from me and my sister. You know, it was kind of a relief. We were very, very sad and very, very upset for a long time. But yeah, that period was total devastation. And it's incredible how your memory of something like that can be acute. You remember at times a second by second time frame. You can see things, you can see colours, you can see hand movements, you can see what eyes are doing. You know, it's all this that's happening. It's almost like it's been recorded on video and then you can play it back. Your brain does something strange in times of crises. But I have some beautiful, gorgeous, amazing memories of my mum, and they have kicked in more than the awful sad moments now. So it's part of recovery. It's part of grief. I love her to death. I still talk to her. Wrong way of saying that, actually. I love her to death. But you can make those black humor jokes, and there were quite a few that came out because it's part of your grief. It's part of your healing. But yeah, I've got photographs of her in the kitchen, and if I make a cup of tea or make breakfast or something, I'll talk to her. Yes, how are you today? Can you give us a bit of help? I need a bit of help today, Mum, sort of thing. So, yeah, what's your moment?
Well, before I go there, I will say that you're talking about like the black humor moments in those times. I got so, like, I had an uncle that died who I was not, I was close to as a child, but he basically, to put it nicely, or to put it bluntly, not nicely, this is not nice, blunt. He was just rural, poor, white trash. He was just like everything that everyone would think about an American that's like ignorant and, you know, like the Republican, like that kind of person. Very anti-gay, very racist. So I liked him when I was a child because I didn't know better. But when I became an adult and, you know, I was coming out of the closet as a teenager, he just totally hated my guts. So he ended up dying. So I had never in my life been to a funeral, a wake of showing of a body, nothing. I did not always have a very good relationship with death. I was terrified of death. I was terrified of cemeteries. I was terrified of seeing dead bodies. I was terrified of going to a funeral. It was just way too, like, I didn't think I could handle grief. So when my uncle died, this was the first time I actually ever went to a showing of a body. And I didn't care for him that much, so it wasn't devastating to be there. I was perfectly functional and fine and, you know, going there to support my aunt and my family. It was more just to be there for them because I know they were sad. So I go there and my aunt said to someone else that was at the funeral or the viewing, "I got new hair. I got new teeth. I'm just a merry widow," with his body feet from her. And I remember looking at my cousin and just going, "Is this bitch for real? Are you kidding me?" And again, I don't even like this man, but I'm like, this man is dead. He's sitting right here. And you're talking about being a merry widow at his viewing with his children that are bawling. They're like, what a callous bitch. But now after you're saying like how in times of crisis that this dark humor can sometimes help you get through. And I mean, I of all people have a very dark sense of humor. So I understand that. But in that context, I didn't think it was possible. But now that I'm looking back and I'm thinking, well, maybe she wasn't being a selfish, vicious, evil person. She was just trying to cope with something so devastating, which is the loss of a partner. But I will say I had the ultimate revenge in his death because he was painted up like a rodeo clown. They made him, they had so much makeup on, lipstick. I'm like, whoa, like this man, if he knew that he had all this makeup on, would lose his mind. So that was the ultimate kind of like, ha 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 ha.
One more makeup than Sister Indica.
You're wearing a lot of makeup, honey. Take that to the grave. I will say in terms of my most devastating, it also falls along the lines of death. And there was a time when within 6 months of each other, my biological father, my adopted father, and my stepfather all died within 6 months of each other. Oh, and I had awful relationships with every single one of them. And it's made me spiral. And I just had like a nervous breakdown kind of thing. But it wasn't because I liked any of them. It wasn't because I had relationships with any of them. I had awful relationships with them. And I hated all three of these men. So I didn't understand why you would think I would have been celebrating. Like, yes, there goes one enemy. There goes two. There goes three. Woohoo! Party time. They're dead. But it really just broke my heart and made me, it was real mind fuck. But I will say that true devastation was the death of my grandparents because of kind of the way it all unfolded. My grandmother, who I had a very good relationship with as a child, we ended up having a very bad relationship when I was a teenager because she was a born again Christian and she was very much against me being gay. very much against it. Like, it was the worst thing ever. I could have been a murderer, and that would have been better than being gay. That's exactly how she, her attitude. So it turned into a very adversarial relationship, to the point where I said things to her that you would never believe that someone would ever say to their grandmother. Mm-hmm. Like, in drag queen terms, read her to filth and snatched her wig one day at Thanksgiving. I just went off on her after she was just so evil to me. So we had this really bad relationship when I was a teenager. But then as I became an adult, she became like the only person in my family that I actually talked to. And she totally came to terms with me being gay and accepted my partner. Just a complete switch in behavior. So then it became like, this is the grandma I had when I was a little child, and oh my God, I love her so much. So when she died, which it happened very quickly, and she wasn't that old, you know, she was like in her 70s. So it wasn't like she was old. Mm-hmm. It was so heartbreaking to lose her, because we had created this relationship and I just loved her so much, and it was truly devastating. But more so is my grandfather, because he did not handle it well. Mm. And he ended up committing suicide because he just could not, in a horrific way, he just could not take it. And that, and I did not have a great relationship with him either, which I think is a pattern. Mm. Indica does not have great relationships with men, male father figures. But just the fact that someone would be brought to that place, that, you know, even though I didn't like this man, I knew that my grandmother was his world. And to be so broken and just feel so hopeless. He also was diagnosed with cancer, a really aggressive cancer. So I think it was partly both. Mm. But it was more, I think, my grandmother not being there. It was just like so devastating to think, you know, to lose someone that important to you and just to feel like you cannot go on. Like, I have a partner. We've been together for 18 years, and I cannot fathom how I could process something like that happening, let alone someone I've been with for like 40 years. Yeah. So that was my most devastating, even though it wasn't necessarily someone that I was particularly close to. It was just the whole situation and the way it all kind of unfolded. Great fun radio, by the way.
this episode of Chinwag actually is turning out, for me, it feels like this is the best one ever.
I feel like I'm bringing the whole show to a screeching halt.
It really has been a true no holds barred program, for reasons probably where neither of us thought it would go.
I honestly didn't, and I will be completely honest with the listeners, I did not prepare my questions. I was a very bad guest. I thought Bang Bang was asking me all the questions, and I'm like, ooh, great. The one time I don't have to work, she's going to have all these questions. We're going to have fun. This is going to be great. I'm just going to sit back and relax. And she's like, no, you needed to prepare questions. So I'm like, where am I going? So I just kind of organically chose them as we were talking.
For now, Sister Indica, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.